And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're listening to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, which you're listening to on the WBGR Sports Network and on the WBGR app, which is available on both iTunes and Google Play. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, we are taped today on Saturday, July 15th, because Bernie and I have contractual obligations to MCW Pro Wrestling for the Shamrock Memorial Cup, which is a two-day event this year. So it is Dixon and I coming to you live from the X75 production studio, aka my bedroom in Germantown, Maryland. And so we were debating on like what type of topics that we want to talk about on this episode. That's always makes it fresh and new for everyone who's listening to the show. Obviously we're not gonna have the Facebook Live feature today. There's no call-ins today, so we do apologize for that, but we'll be back next weekend on July 22nd when we're joined by the commissioner of the DCHL, Suds. We'll be doing a full hour with him, like we did on July 1st, where we did a full hour with Donald from Just Hockey Cards. So, like I was saying, we're looking for topics of what to talk to or talk about for this episode and for some other episodes that we're going to be pre-taping, so you guys always get new content from us. It's not like a best of or a replay of a past episode or anything like that. No, we want to give you always new content all the time. And the one idea we came up with is because of the NHL's 100th anniversary, and they did their 100 greatest players in NHL history, which there are some that are debatable of should they've been on the list and which ones are not on the list that should be on the list. We saw the list. We saw that there are 6 Washington Capitals on the list. So what we're going to do is Dix and I, we're going to go over the 6 players who in Washington Capitals history made it onto the NHL 100. Ain't that right, Dixon?
Yes, that is correct.
Very good. Hopefully you have more to say than just 3 words. I love you too. But anyways, we're going to start off on the very top of our list, and the first player that we're going to be talking about is the player who played the least amount of time with the Washington Capitals but made the biggest and one of the biggest impacts. Hockey Hall of Famer in 2015, a 3-time Stanley Cup champion with Detroit, Sergei Fedorov. Now, the Washington Capitals acquired Sergei Fedorov in a trade from the Columbus Blue Jackets in the 2007-08 season. He also played the 08-09 season with the Washington Capitals. In total, he only played 70 regular season games with the Washington Capitals. In that time, he scored 13 goals and 33 assists for 46 points. But what he was really known for was what he did for the Washington Capitals in the playoffs. He was the Game 7 hero against the New York Rangers, helping the Washington Capitals advance to the second round. That was a big thing for the Washington Capitals. Dixon, what are some of the big things you always remembered about Sergei Fedorov, first off, as a Washington Capital?
Well, just as a Capital, I remember how much excitement he would bring onto the ice and brought a lot of veteran presence, not only just with the veteran presence, but also Stanley Cup experience to a team, hoping to bring some of what he knew and how his play and bring it over and help out some of the younger guys on the team to try and get some more playoff experience for the younger guys on the team.
Yeah, and this was only the second season that they've made the playoffs at that point in the Rock the Red era.
I believe that is correct.
So, but like, I mean, when you also look at Fedorov, I mean, he only played 70 games in a regular season with the Caps. He played 21 playoff games for the Capitals, which is almost a third of what he played in the regular season.
Yeah.
But the one thing you look at for Fedorov is, like, his longevity. You know, one thing that people can remember is that when he won his second Stanley Cup with the Detroit Red Wings, he did it against the Washington Capitals in 1998. That was also a year he was a holdout, too. He was actually a holdout on his contract that year with Detroit, and there was the talks that he was going to sign with Carolina. So it was very interesting during that time frame. After that, he would be traded to Anaheim, then he would move on to Columbus. he had a very good long career, which was worthy of going into the Hall of Fame in 2015, and winning three Stanley Cups, winning a Hart Trophy in 1994 like he did, definitely speaks volumes about Sergei Fedorov as a whole, as a player.
And I agree. And what's interesting is just looking up some of Fedorov's stats, his last NHL team was the Capitals before he went over to the KHL in Russia for 3 years, and after those 3 years, that's when he called it a career in 2012.
Yep. And he actually did 4 years, not three. Learn math. Anyways.
Well, if he was if at the end of his Caps career was in 09.
Yeah, he did 09-10.
Then 10-11, 11-12.
Well, according to the stats things that I saw there, he did 4 years.
Okay, well, either way, his career ended in 2012, and he was a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2015, as he
should have been.
As he should have been.
And then, of course, next up, we go with a man who spent 3 years in Washington. And one player that, you know, we talked about on the show when we were doing our free agent frenzy with Donald, saying, oh, and our good friend Shaggy saying that we should, that the Caps should sign him, which we don't want him back. And that is a 2-time Stanley Cup champion with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He is second all time in points in the NHL. And that is Jaromir Jagr. In the 3 years he played for the Capitals, he played 190 games, had 83 goals, 118 assists, and 201 points. So he definitely produced in his time in Washington, which is a key thing.
It's key. I don't remember a lot about Jagr. I remember when he was first signed, I was excited, and then I saw his play, and I said, he's producing, but he doesn't look like he is having fun.
He isn't passionate about playing the game. And that was the key thing. He wasn't passionate about playing the game in Washington, or with the Rangers, as a matter of fact. I mean, one of the things that the Caps did was they signed Robert Lang to make him happy, because he loved playing with Robert Lang in Pittsburgh. Caps bring in Robert Lang. We got great production out of Robert Lang, but we weren't getting the passion out of Jaromir Jagr. And that is, you know, unfortunately one of the downers to Jaromir Jagr. Definite Hall of Famer.
Oh, no question.
Current unrestricted free agent. Legs are gone. But, I mean, look at him, though. He won his first two Stanley, his only two Stanley Cups in his first two seasons in the league with Pittsburgh. You know, with Mario Lemieux. So that kind of tells you right there, you know, that the kid was talented, and that now at 45 years old, he's still talented, he just can't skate.
Yeah. And that's the one thing, is that a lot of people, even going into last offseason, they were saying the Caps should sign Jagr, and you and I said several times, absolutely not. Nope. Because it's just the age, and like we've said before, the guy can't skate.
Yeah, he can't keep up with the speed of the game. Obviously, by the time this airs, he might have signed with a team. Probably will have signed with a team, because today is actually really July 1st, and this is being aired on July 15th. So,
but who knows what can happen between now and
the day this airs.
Correct.
But, I mean, personally, I think Jagr, he was good for the Capitals. It just would have been better if he was with the Capitals under better circumstances. I think when you look at him and you go, these are the circumstances that he was under, which was the fact that the owner wanted him, but nobody else wanted him, and he didn't want to be there, you know, and then he signs that monster contract.
Which was what, like 7 years, like 7 years, something like 11 mil or something.
It was something ridiculous. But he, you know, they traded him during their fire sale to the New York Rangers. Great trade, by the way, because it got him out. It got him into a better situation, even though he wasn't happy until after the lockout. But we're going to take this moment now. You know, we talked about two of the six. Why don't we talk about one that wasn't on the list, that could have been on the list, but maybe not? on a 100, but a top 250. Let's talk about Olli Kolzig. Definitely one of the better goalies in that time. Franchise face of the Washington Capitals.
Oh, yes. I loved Olli Kolzig. Everyone loved Olli. And I just remember, you know, back during the Eastern Conference championship run, going on almost 20 years ago, I just remember Olli the Holy Goalie as the nickname, and
it was Olli the Goalie, not Olli the Holy Goalie. Where the hell did Olli the Holy Goalie
come from? I've heard Olli the Goalie.
Smack yourself, because it's Olli the Goalie and Zilla.
I get it. I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying what I heard, and I knew Olli the Goalie, and
what
I knew
have you been
Zilla.
To, what have you been doing? Talking to Smink?
No. Because Smink was, you know, that was 8 years, and he really wasn't into hockey then, but that's besides the point. I just remember that, and like you said, Kolzig was one of the big faces of the franchise in the late 90s and early part of the 2000s, and Olli Kolzig was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
With someone else we will possibly bring up later on as well.
There's two other names we're going to bring up, and you're not going to know them until I bring them up. You know the six that we are going to talk about. You just don't know about the other three.
That's why I said probably.
But, yeah, no, Olli was a great goalie. I mean, anytime somebody's also the face of a franchise, can take a team to the Stanley Cup Finals, is consistent in getting his team to the playoffs, that's always a good goalie. Unfortunately, they can never win one with Olaf Kolzig and with the other two that we're going to talk about on here as well. But I loved Olli when he was with the Caps. I thought he was great for the Capitals. And with that, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about two more Capitals that were in the NHL 100 and one more that could have been on the list but didn't make the list. Looking for that little treasure in Germantown, Maryland? We'll look no further than the Dutch Family Restaurant located at 12613 Wisteria Drive in Germantown, Maryland. From egg omelets and burgers to full-course Amish-style meals, Dutch Family Restaurant does not disappoint. You can visit the Dutch Family Restaurant Thursday through Saturdays. For more information and to see their menu, visit them on Facebook today. Crimson Orchard and Eyeshine for their music that you listen to before and during the show. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned before, if you want to see the band Eyeshine play before they break up, you know, go to your local conventions and request, we want to see Johnny Young Bosch and the band Eyeshine. We want to see them one last time before they go their separate ways. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing the NHL 100, the list of the Washington Capitals who made it onto the NHL 100. We finished talking about Sergei Fedorov and Jaromir Jagr, and then also talked about, you know, Olli Kolzig a little bit. Now, on this segment, we're going to be talking about another Hockey Hall of Famer. He went into the Hall of Fame in 2012. He spent 6 years with the Washington Capitals. After playing 387 games with the Caps, he had 73 goals, 290 assists, and 363 points, and was a piece to the Washington Capitals that made it to the 1998 Stanley Cup Finals, Mr. Adam Oates.
Oates, I remember, was a pretty good player. He ended up, I know, remember him getting the captaincy C, and that was that after Konowalczuk had the C, or was that before?
I think that was before Konowalczuk had the C. I think Konowalczuk got the C after Oates.
Right. So, okay, so... I do remember Adam Oates being a very good player, pretty solid guy, and we all know that he later on became the coach in 2012 for the team and lasted about two seasons, if I remember correctly.
Yes, two seasons. He actually, the funny thing is that like he gets announced as coach, and then like.
The
exact same day he got announced for the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I was like, hey, guess what? You're the new coach. And hey, guess what? You just got the call to go into the Hall of Fame.
Which, that must have been an exciting thing for him to get both, but probably more exciting for him to be announced as a Hockey Hall of Famer going into that class in 2012.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You gotta take that Hall of Fame induction over anything else, because that's what you played for. That's what you earned as a player. I remember when Oates was traded to the Capitals, and I mentioned this now 2 weeks ago on the show with Donald and Bernie, and that was the fact that, you know, Adam Oates, when he was traded over with Rick Tocchet and Bill Ranford, the condition to him being traded to the Capitals was he got to rework his contract with the Capitals. So it was actually very interesting learning that when I was doing research for a documentary that I hope to have made for this upcoming season. That was an interesting thing. And obviously bringing him in brought in a guy who, you know, had very great success when he was in St. Louis, you know, teamed up with Brett Hall. Everyone assumed that it would be Peter Bonder and Adam Oates together. That obviously didn't happen. It was more of Andre Nikolishin and Peter Bonder together, but that was still something that was there for the Washington Capitals that made them very dangerous going into the into every season. Just the fact that you had those two there.
Yeah, and it's and like we said, he was also a key piece with the. He was a key piece with the Eastern Conference championship run, much like we talked about in the last segment toward the end with Olaf Kolzig as well.
Yeah, and you know, and Adam Oates, you know, to his credit, was a great player for the team. He ended up getting traded to the Philadelphia Flyers for goaltender prospect Maxime Ouellette and three draft picks, which none of those panned out. Not even the goalie prospect. But, you know, he had a chance with Philly, and then he had a chance with Anaheim the following year, and then he had a chance with Edmonton, and he got so close. I mean, he had the opportunity with, he had opportunities with Boston, he had opportunities with the Caps, or he had the opportunity with the Caps.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went to the finals the year Scott Stevens killed Paul Kariya and Peter Sikora in the Stanley Cup Finals.
And that was in 2000. That was actually the last year Jersey won the Stanley Cup, and yep. That was back in 2003.
And what a better segue for talking about Adam Oates getting great opportunities to try to win Stanley Cups to somebody who almost viciously murdered people to win his Stanley Cups. He was a Hockey Hall of Famer in 2007 and three-time Stanley Cup champion with said New Jersey Devils. He actually started his career with 8 years in Washington, playing 601 games, 98 goals, 331 assists, and 429 points. And that was Scott Stevens, which a funny thing, when we were doing the research on Stevens real quick and his stats, in 13 years with New Jersey, this is going to blow people's minds on this. In the 13 years that he was with New Jersey, he only recorded one more point than he did with the Capitals in 8 years. He had 430 points in Jersey and 429 in Washington. That's funny.
when you think about it, I mean, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but clearly, I mean, if you're doing, you know, 430 points over a 13-year career, you would think that that's pretty good. But when you, on the flip side, when you're with one team for 8 years and you do, you know, have 429 points over, you know, 600 plus games played, you would think that's that's a heck of a lot better. I mean, that's what we'd be averaging. I'm just spitballing a number here, but saying 0.75 points a game in that 8 year span.
Yeah. And like I said, it's just funny, but you know, the one thing everyone remembers Scott Stevens for is actually not the scoring. I mean, we bring it up because, yeah, that's very...
It's ironic.
It's ironic that, you know, he would be putting up these points. But he was known for his very physical style of play of defense. He pretty much ended Scott's... Or not to...
He ended Paul Kariya's career.
No, he didn't end Paul Kariya's career, but he stunted Paul Kariya's career. He stunted Peter Sikora's career and probably ended it. He was the main cause for the downfall of Eric Lindros' career with all the concussions he's given guys. You know, yeah. It's that elbows up thing for him, and always hitting the head. And it's kind of ironic that, you know, it's always been said about Stevens when he played for the Capitals. It's like all you had to do was just get him angry.
Yeah,
and then you get him out of position. He's throwing bad hits, and that's all you had to do against him.
And like you said, I mean, hell of a defensive player. He knew how to, you know, level people and, you know...
Oh, no, he didn't know how to level people. He knew how to kill people.
Leveling, killing.
but of irony, though, his career was ended because of a concussion.
You kind of a cruel sense of irony, you know, when you go out and, you know, try to concuss people. Only your career ends by a concussion.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, especially when you look at the game today, you got the concussion lawsuit. You got the league theoretically trying to protect players from headshots. And I use the word theoretically because there's a lot of questionable things that still happen in the league when it comes to headshots. But no, like, Scott Stevens was a shining example of, you know, a dirty hitter. You know, the guy played the game. He played the game passionately, but I mean, you always saw it where he gave guys concussions. He always went after star players. You know, if he never concussed Eric Lindros, the Flyers may have won a cup with Eric Lindros.
And I agree.
And in 2003, when he concussed both Paul Kariya and Peter Sikora, I bet you if he didn't concuss both those players, Anaheim, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim would be a Stanley Cup winner before the Anaheim Ducks. Heck, yeah. There may not even be an Anaheim Ducks. It'd probably still be the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. But, I mean, and yeah, like you said, it's had that not happened, the Ducks franchise probably could have two Stanley Cup championships right now.
Yeah. And they'd probably still be owned by Disney. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. But with that said, we are going into our second, not on the list, but could have been. Not saying that they should have been, but they could have been. Dale Hunter. That man, you know, is legend. His number is retired. Well as another player who we'll be talking about soon. You know, Dale Hunter, number retired, was given the penalty box from the Cap Center when he had his number retired, which he has sitting out at his barn on his property up in London, Ontario, Canada. I mean, the guy was, you know, here's the funny thing. Adam Oates, who we just talked about earlier, hit in the 97-98 season 1,000 points, as well as Phil Housley, who was on the Caps, and Dale Hunter. So now we're talking about the second of the three guys who were 1,000 point guys, whereas Hunter is also a 1,000 point guy with 3,000 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hunter is like one of those guys who definitely should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, but.
Reasons we don't know. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's something else as to why he's not in. But that is the big thing I do remember is when they officially closed down the Cap Center. back in November of 97 when they were doing like a whole big ceremony, you know, lowering the banners to get him ready to move him over to Verizon Center, which was then known as MCI Center. One of the big gifts I do remember later on when Dale Hunter did retire was they wheeled out the penalty box as a parting gift from the old Cap Center, and I saw that on TV, and I saw that later on, and I said, okay, that's pretty funny, but that's kind of also maybe cruel, I guess, I said.
But actually, the funny thing is actually, no, you weren't cruel. Let's talk about, you know, we all know Dale Hunter, captain of the team that went to the 98 finals, stuff like that. You know, we all know who Dale Hunter is. We all love Dale Hunter, former coach of the Capitals as well. But you want to talk about irony. Let's talk about Rod Langway. Not a defenseman who probably could have been on the 100 list. When they retired his number, it was the last game at the old Cap Center. And it wasn't televised. The last game at the Capitol Center was not televised.
And what with the whole Dale Hunter thing, that I must have seen it in the newspapers.
No, for Dale Hunter, his thing, he got the penalty box from the Cap Center when they retired his number, which is like two seasons later, because he retired at the end of the 98-99 season.
Okay, well then I was getting my things confused then, I guess.
You're already
it's okay. I'm allowed to get things confused, but as you were saying, Mike,
I think we should all hit you.
Hey, I mean,
but Rod Langway, you know, definitely one of the top defensemen the Capitals have ever had. Definitely the trade to pick up, not just Rod Langway, but Dale Hunter really turned around the franchise. It's also how we got Craig Laughlin. You can blame Dave Poile for that trade.
Now,
Craig Laughlin, who will never go away. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not going to blame Dave Poile.
I kid Craig Laughlin. He's a great color commentator. Just lose some of the homerness a little bit, and we'll be good. But yeah. But no, Rod Langway, you know, Secretary of Defense, one of the definitely top defensemen. Yeah, I think if he had stayed with Montreal, he probably would have won a couple cups. But
it's very possible.
But, I mean, and look at who his mentor was. It was Larry Robinson on that team in Montreal. So, you know, you got Rod Langway as one that should have been on the list, in my opinion, but didn't. And, but yeah. So, wow. We still got time to kill. You know, we'll take one more commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to try to kill 30 minutes.
Which we can probably do.
Which we'll most likely find a way to do. Looking for that little treasure in Germantown, Maryland? We'll look no further than the Dutch Family Restaurant located at 12613 Wisteria Drive in Germantown, Maryland. From egg omelets and burgers to full-course Amish-style meals, Dutch Family Restaurant does not disappoint. You can visit the Dutch Family Restaurant Thursday through Saturdays. For more information and to see their menu, visit them on Facebook today.
Right from the start, we can't fall apart, 'cause this is our shot to play with all of our heart. And no one else cares, alone we must dare, to give what we've got and leave nothing to spare. Leave nothing to spare. We finally know.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. Michael and Dixon here on this previously recorded episode, so you never have to listen to anything on repeat. Because nobody likes listening to repeats. Nobody actually likes watching repeats on television. Just give us new content all the time. You don't see Monday Night Raw going, you know what, we're going to take a night off. You know, we're just going to replay an old episode of Monday Night Raw. You don't see the WWE doing that.
No, but there's other issues there, but that's a completely different story for a completely different show.
Are you saying that we're not good enough to be give new content every week?
No, I was referring to the WWE. I was referring to the WWE part. I think that was a completely different story for a completely different show. This is all about hockey.
I was making a reference and a comparison, and you couldn't even do that. Sit down, shut up, and just sit there, and you can't even look pretty, so don't even try doing that.
Anyways.
Going back to the NHL 100, Capitals on the list. We've talked about Sergei Fedorov, Jaromir Jagr, Adam Oates, and Scott Stevens. We've also talked about Rod Langway, Dale Hunter, and Olaf Kolzig as well. And now we look at the last two players that made it onto the list and take a look at maybe one or two more that could have been on the list. And we're going to start with a man who has entered into the Hall of Fame in 2001 and was a fourth overall pick in the 1979 draft. 10 years with the Washington Capitals, 758 games, 397 goals, 392 assists for 789 points. Ladies and gentlemen, his number 11 is retired in the Verizon Center, Mike Gartner. And you only remember his days of playing for the Phoenix Coyotes, so shut up. You can't talk.
If that. I mean, and that was, you know, when the Phoenix Coyotes had just moved from Winnipeg, from the first incarnation of the Jets.
Yep. I love how you don't talk while I drink. So there's this awkward silence now on the show. Thank you so much for that. But, I never got to see Gartner play, or that I can remember seeing him play as a Washington Capital, but I remember him with Toronto. I remember him with the Rangers, the latter part of his career with the Phoenix Coyotes. The hell of the Arizona Coyotes. It's all about the Phoenix Coyotes. And those beautiful Kashina jerseys. Mike Gartner actually made that jersey look good with that mustache.
Yes. And I still do plan on getting a Kachina jersey. It's just, you know, the matter of securing the funds to get it done.
He's never going to get one. He's just never going to get one. Unlike me, who actually has one. But going back to Mike Gartner, I mean, this guy, he was really one of the biggest pieces. We talked about Rod Langway when the Capitals traded for Rod Langway. It turned the ship around. Drafting Mike Gartner was obviously one of those earlier pieces that, you know, you need guys who can score goals. Mike Gartner was a guy who could do that. He was a great team player, an offensive threat, and he definitely brought that to the Capitals up until when he was traded to the Minnesota North Stars for Dino Cicerelli. So Mike Gartner, definitely a great player to have in the Caps organization when he was there from 1979 to 1989. And then your next player, talking about offensive stalwarts, the sixth and final person to make it onto the NHL 100 list. He has been with the Washington Capitals for 12 years. Next season will be his 13th. He is an 11-time All-Star. He has 921 games played, 558 goals, 477 assists, 1,035 points, all with the Washington Capitals. He is the only Capital of 500 goals and 1,000 points, all with the same team. He's a Calder Trophy winner, multiple-time Hart winner, multiple-time Rocket Richard winner, the Ted Lindsay Award, which used to be the Lester Pearson Award.
You know, the guy has won several trophies, and of course we're talking about your current captain, Alex Ovechkin, and I just heard about 16 people get pitchforks.
What can we say about Alexander Ovechkin in the positive way that has not already been said? Ovechkin
He's been a boon for the Washington Capitals. After Peter Bondra and Olaf Kolzig. Well, Kolzig was there for when Ovechkin came to the team. But specifically after Peter Bondra got traded from the team, they traded the face of the team. And then that became Olaf Kolzig, but everyone knew it was going to become Ovechkin. But people were still mad about the Bondra trade, because nobody wanted to see Peter Bondra get traded. And by being able to acquire before they go into the lockout, after trading Peter Bondra, getting Alex Ovechkin number one overall, you created, like, okay, we lost Bondra, but now we have this new number one guy.
And, I mean, like I said, what can we say about, what can we say that's positive with Ovechkin that hasn't already been said? Like, I mean, he's obviously the superstar player we all thought he was going to be when he was initially drafted in the 2004 entry-level draft. And like you said, and I mean, his numbers don't lie. I mean, he's got the stats. When he does call it a career, he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. No questions asked. You, Mike, would like to see, and I as well, would like to see him, you know, hoist that lovely 35-pound trophy as much as so many other people in this area would who are Caps fans and here's the other thing, wanting it.
And here's the other thing. The other thing about Ovechkin is that he performs in the playoffs, too. Like, I don't have his playoff stats written. I could pull it up real quick. But the guy has always performed in the playoffs.
and we're not discrediting his play at all. Ovechkin is for sure first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got the stats. He has the recognition. He has the awards, you know, the three Hart trophies, the several.
Hold on. He has, in his rookie year, he won the Calder and the Hart. His second year, he won the Hart. His third year, he won the Lady Bang, the Hart, the Pearson, the Richard, the Ross, and the Selke. His fourth season, he won the Hart, the Pearson, the Richard, and the Selke. In his fifth season, he won the Hart, the Pearson, the Selke. His sixth season, he won the Hart. Seventh season, he was just named an All-Star. His eighth season, he got the Hart and the Richard. His ninth season, the Hart and the Richard. His tenth season, the Hart and the Richard. Correction. He was nominated for Harts. So he won the Hart his third, fourth, and his eighth seasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, because yeah. I know.
No, because the darker ones are the ones that, the way they have it on here, on this website, is not
so, yeah,
that good. NHL playoffs. In the NHL playoffs, Ovechkin has played 97 games. He has scored 46 goals with 44 assists for 90 points.
And again, that shows right there, not mean. What is it? 97 games in the postseason with 90 points.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. I mean, and he's got the style of, and he's, but like we've said before on this show, we would like to see the Caps him at least win one Stanley Cup before he does call it a career.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen Ovechkin, I've always liked seeing him play. I like his style. And what really first turned me on as a huge Ovechkin fan was in his rookie season when he scores that goal sliding on his back. On was it? It was I believe it was a New Year's Day game against the Coyotes.
Yep.
And I remember that turning me on as becoming a Ovechkin fan.
Well, I mean, I just liked Ovechkin because the guy could play. I mean, that's more important than, I mean, yeah, he's had the flashy plays and everything like that, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. So, I keep going. Don't pay attention to what I'm doing. I'm working on something soon.
Now, it's with Ovechkin. Yeah, I mean, the three Hart trophies, him winning the Calder, and it just goes to show you when he comes into the same class with, coming into the same season playing with Crosby.
And beats Crosby out for the Calder.
Which a lot of people thought that was kind of shady, but at the same time, though.
How was it shady? Ovechkin had 100 points and was nominated for the Hart, whereas Crosby was not.
Where I said some people. That's why I said. Me, I didn't think that. I knew he deserved the Calder when he was up for the nomination and ended up winning, and it was a no-brainer.
But
anyways.
But yeah, no, Ovechkin, I mean, but the thing is, though, is that, and of course people are going to want to talk like, oh yeah, the then was good, but what about the now? And it's like, well, the now is that the guy could still produce. We've talked about it on the show a few times, especially after Brian McClellan's comments about, you know, Ovechkin needs to train for the speed of the game and not for the physicality of the game, which is a true statement. You should be looking at how the game is changing and adapt your game to how the game is changing. But I also feel that, you know, he's been captain for quite a while now. I think since the
2010?
Yeah, I think since 2010. And it's just time to change the voice of leadership in that locker room. And you can do this with Ovechkin still as the face of the franchise. I mean, look at who the face of the franchise is in Nashville. It's P.K. Subban. But their captain is Mike Fisher. You know, go to another team that, I'm trying to think of another team who has a captain who is kind of like a fourth liner now.
If we,
but isn't a face of the franchise. It's kind of, I mean, you had Dustin Brown for, I mean, actually, that's a good example. Anze Kopitar is the face of your team. Dustin Brown was your captain.
And now
Kopitar is the captain of the Kings.
Right.
Whereas Brown is now more just the fourth line player. But, you know, I mean, and that was done just to change the voice.
And then we said the same thing, I think, back when they were, when, after they did their exit interviews with San Jose.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many times does San Jose, you know, change their captains just to get a new
voice?
A new voice as the leader of the franchise, but you can still have that former captain still be the face of the franchise.
Tampa Bay's done it. San Jose's done it. Who else has done it?
The Kings have done it.
I think
Dallas
has done it.
I think the Ducks did it at one point.
No, the Ducks had never done it when a player was still there.
Who else? Trying to think.
Stop thinking, you'll hurt yourself.
Didn't Edmonton do it at one point?
No, Edmonton never did it. But I mean, besides the point, I mean, I know Tampa's done it. Don't think the Rangers or the Canadians ever have.
But it just goes to show that when you have a captain and certain things need to
change,
that's when, you know, push comes to shove at some point and be like, hey, we're gonna go in a little bit of a different direction. You can still be the face of the franchise, but it's time to get a new voice of leadership for the locker room, just for the overall health, for the overall good health of the locker room.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, and sometimes you need to do that. I mean, you bring in these guys like a Jason Arnott, a Justin Williams, who's now signed with Carolina, Sergei Fedorov, who we talked about earlier on the show. These guys are brought in. These guys have won cups. And mm-hmm. they're being told, now, welcome to Washington. This is how we do things. Just follow my lead. And the problem is that you've never led to a Stanley Cup before, like a Jason Arnott has, a Sergei Fedorov has, a Justin Williams has. And we need to change that up. You know, I think, you know, I know everyone's like, oh, we got to get rid of Orpik. We got to get rid of Orpik. You should put the captaincy on Orpik because he's won a cup. And he knows what he's got. And he knows what it takes to win a cup. So, I mean, that's just, you know, me speaking my mind on of, hey, we actually do have a Stanley Cup leader in the locker room. His name is Brooks Orpik. Why don't we actually use him as such instead of kind of castrate him and crucify him because he's a, you know, a defensive defenseman.
And, I mean, it's all fine and dandy to have, you know, an alternate captain. And you said, yeah, I mean, that means something, but also, again, like you said, when you're told, hey, welcome to Washington, this is how we do things, take my lead, and you're saying that, and that's coming from someone who has who doesn't have any championship credentials, what does that say?
It says he's there just to have fun. And the thing is that you can have fun, but at the end of the day, you know, my hard-earned dollars, because I still have to pay for my tickets, you still have to pay for your tickets, Bernie still pays for his tickets. You know, at the end of the day, our hard-earned money is going into these guys for our ticket sales, for our merchandise sales, for all that stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. we do deserve to be rewarded for our loyalty to the team. And, you know, I don't like hearing guys going like, you know, welcome to the team, this is how we run things, and just follow my lead, when, hey, this guy that we just brought in, best case scenario, recently was Justin Williams, and you just kind of brush him off to the side and just go be a player on the team.
And I'm sure, like, Justin Williams probably deep down was probably thinking, like, who does he think he is telling me?
A 3-time Stanley Cup champion.
I was going to say, who does he think he is telling me when I've won 3 Stanley Cup championships what to do? If the roles were reversed and Ovechkin came to my town and said, hey kid, follow my lead, that would probably have a little bit more merit, because Justin Williams has the three Stanley Cup championships to prove that, hey, I'm worthy of listening to, take my lead, take my advice. I'll tell
who's
you
the
what
captain
you need
of
to...
the Carolina Hurricanes right now.
That I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, we should find out who the captain is, and when we come back for the show with Suds next week, the 22nd, we should have noted who the captain of the Hurricanes is and see if they are a better fit as captain than Justin Williams is. So that's your homework assignment for the next week. Because we're really actually pre-recording this episode.
Well, yes, of course. But yeah, it's that'll go to show, hey, with you know, now that Justin Williams is back in Carolina, who he won a cup with. Won his first Stanley Cup with, thank you. Won his first Stanley Cup with back in 2006, and that was after the year-long lockout.
Which funny thing, I actually have the championship hat for the Hurricanes, and I have the second Kings championship hat.
Because, I mean, those are nice.
I wanted to get both signed by Justin Williams, but I never in the 2 years he was with the Caps got to meet Justin Williams.
And I mean, and I know why you did. You got it because they were good collector's items to add to a collection. And there's nothing wrong with
that. Well, I mean, the one thing, I'm kind of mad because I never bought the third cup championship for Chicago. Because I was like, well, that's a dynasty right there. I'm not going to buy a Penguins hat. Sorry, I just can't do it. I'm still on the fence on buying a Penguins jersey for my collection.
Well, I mean, that's a different debate that you and I can talk about off air, but...
No, we can talk about that on air next month when we do our jersey special.
This is true, but I was going to say, in special regards to something else...
Oh, yeah, that stuff, yeah. So...
But yeah, now, Mike.
Yes, ma'am?
Basically, we've gone over the NHL 100 list...
The Capitals that are on it.
The Capitals that are on it.
Three caps that aren't.
Who do you think was one of the biggest snubs that should have been on the list?
Hunter. Dale Hunter, hands down. Because, I mean, 1,000 points, 3,000 penalty minutes is the only player or one of two players to do that.
Well, I was gonna say who was not a member of the Washington Capitals as a snub.
As I pull up the list real quick.
I gotta say, there were a lot of names. I mean, of course, from the names that were on there, you knew that Gretzky was gonna be on there. That was an obvious no-brainer. You knew that Gordie Howe was gonna be on there. As Mike looks up a list, I'm trying to, you know, go just off of memory itself. Ray Bourque was an obvious one that was going to be on there. Martin Brodeur was another obvious one.
Why don't you just shut up about who is on the list and talk about who isn't on the list?
Let's see. just trying to think. I'm in my mind.
Should have been on.
I'm really. Backstrom should have been on it. And
no, Backstrom should not have been on it.
You don't think so? No.
Phil Housley.
There you go. That's one that you can talk about.
Phil Housley, I think, should have been on. We don't have... Yeah, he's not on there. Tim Horton definitely belongs on there. Great donuts and great hot chocolate.
Yeah, Dominic Hasek being on there, that was an obvious good one. Messier being on there.
Madonna should have been on there.
I thought you just went past Madonna.
No, I said Madonna should have been on there, and he's on there.
Yes.
I don't think Joe Nieuwendyk should have been on the list. I mean, he won a Stanley Cup with three different franchises, but
really, what else did he really
do? Yeah, I know, it's like...
I mean, what else?
Like, I forget. Did Bobby Clarke make the list?
I think he did.
Sweet.
I think Bobby Clarke did make the list.
Yeah, Bobby Clarke made the list.
Because, now, initially when they announced the first 33 of these at the Centennial Classic back on New Year's Day.
Well, yeah, you had guys like George Vezina, who was, you know... Before the expansion, Brian Trottier should not be on. Anybody from those four Stanley Cup Islander teams should not be on this list, because that's a joke. You know, the fact that it's like, oh yeah, well they won four straight Stanley Cups. Yeah, but the problem is that your first Stanley Cup was won offsides. The guy was clearly offsides, and the goal should have been disallowed. You shouldn't have even had four Stanley Cups, let alone one.
And it just goes to show you that...
Yeah, Billy Smith is another one. He shouldn't be on the list.
Pretty much like
I know. I know a lot of Islander fans are now getting angry at me, going like, how can you say that they don't belong? Like, because Mike Bossy doesn't belong on the list either.
I mean,
Mike Bossy's career was only on the power play. He was not an even strength player. He could not play even strength. He was strictly power play. The guy should not be on the top 100.
And like you just said, suds, Sorry.
I wasn't talking about Suds. I was talking about Islander fans in general. I know Suds is an Islanders fan, but that has nothing to do with it.
But I'm saying, he would, you know, he would probably have something to say about it, but that's another.
Dennis Poffin is another one.
But like you said, anyone from those.
Anybody from
those
the
four straight Islanders championship teams should not belong.
I mean, where's Jari Kurri?
That's a snub right there.
I mean, honestly, if you want to do a player from this generation, why isn't Evgeny Malkin or Henrik Lundqvist on the list?
With Malkin and Lundqvist especially, I mean, look at what, you know, how they've been playing their entire careers. I mean, that should have been you would think that they would be definite shoo-ins for this. For under the current era, where only, what was it, six players from the current era got in. You know, two of them being, you know, Jaromír Jágr and Alex Ovechkin, who I can just pretty much, and then Jonathan Toews for the Blackhawks, who I...
The current era, they considered Jágr 2000s. And for now, it was Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, and Alex Ovechkin. That was the five.
And the reason why I was saying six, was because I was considering Jágr as still an active guy.
They consider Jágr as 2000s and not now.
Which you would think, though, they would have probably considered put Jágr in that category for the
They
90s.
Could put Jágr in, like,
well, like they
three,
could put him
They
anywhere.
Could put him in three categories. There's other players who could be... Like, honestly, like, I'm surprised that, like, you know, like, is Larry Robinson on the list? Yeah, Larry Robinson's on the list. Okay, good. Luke Robitaille's on the list. He belongs on there.
Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic, they do belong.
But we're running on time. We've been ranting. We've been going on about, you know, Islander fans now officially hate me for saying that all four of the members of the 80s Cup teams don't belong on the list because they don't. And they don't belong. They don't deserve those Stanley Cup victories either because they didn't rightfully earn them. And one player was strictly a power play guy, Mike Bossy. So, I know I just angered the entire New York Islanders fan base, and I don't think I'll ever get to interview a New York Islanders player now. But if I do, thumbs up to all of you. But, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. I'm Michael, he's Dixon. You can follow the show on @ExperienceHockey on Twitter and Facebook.com/ExperienceHockeyTalk on Facebook. Facebook.com/ExperienceHockeyTalk. No E at the beginning of Experience. Everyone always puts an E at the beginning. There is no E at the beginning of Experience. And with that, we say we will see you on the ice when we're with Suds. Attention, hockey fans. You want Serious Hockey Talk? Then listen to the Experience Hockey Talk on the WBGR Sports Network. Join hosts Michael Lindebaum and Bernie Diehl as they review the past week for the Washington Capitals, NHL, and NWHL. You can listen to the Experience Hockey Talk at 11 a.m. every Saturday at the WBGRSports.com and on the WBGR Sports Network Facebook page. For more information, visit Facebook.com/experience. Hockey Talk.